Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Going home to Alabama, all the way to where the ocean meets the road.
I'm just
shuffling papers.
I am.
It's, you're like Rush Limbaugh. It's
blogosphere day, and I'm
doing that.
Still compiling my thoughts. So welcome, Todd, to Thursday.
Good morning.
Hi. We've made it through one full week, almost, post-Easter. January.
Post.
Oh, Christmas. See, I can't even, post-New Year's, whatever. See, I can't even think. I'm already moving into Lent.
Yesterday was the annual event, which I always look forward to, was the post-Christmas credit card bill.
Oh, yeah, it's always a delight.
Yes. And I got it from the mailbox, and my wife's like, you're not going to open that now,
no, it's toxic.
You?
Put it somewhere.
I'm like, yes, I am going to open this now.
It's also...
It was delightful.
Traditional feast of the Epiphany, celebrated in many Latin American countries. This is a big day.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of move it to Sunday. Because we're American Catholics.
I like how you say kinda, but that's okay.
Well, we did. There's people on Twitter that are still saying Happy Feast of the Epiphany.
Which they can.
Yes.
It's very valid.
So
also St. Henri Bisset.
Yeah, because he's in the collect today.
Poor guy gets eclipsed, right?
And you know what? He's okay with that. He was an incredibly humble man and promulgated a deep devotion to St. Joseph. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah.
So we will open in prayer. In the name of Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, friend of the lowly, who gave your servant, St. Andre Bisset, a great devotion to St. Joseph and a special commitment to the poor and afflicted, help us through his intercession to follow his example of prayer and love, and so come to share with him in your glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Coles Murphy Glover and Associates. They're an engineering firm offering plan design and layout for churches, schools, shipyards,
material handling
facilities, and more. Call CMGNA at 251-433-1611 or go to cmg-a.com.
Headlines for Thursday, January 6th, the feast of St. Andre Bisset. New York City's new district attorney ordered his prosecutors to stop seeking prison sentences for a slew of crimes and to downgrade felony charges, even in armed robberies and drug dealing.
Mm-hmm.
Boy Scouts of America has fallen short of receiving the necessary support from sex abuse victims for approval of its $2.7 billion bankruptcy reorganization plan. The proposed settlement covered some 82,000 claims of sexual child abuse. General Motors revealed its new Chevrolet Silverado EV yesterday during a virtual consumer electronics show. The electric pickup rivals the Ford F-150 Lightning, which was revealed in May. Mortgage applications nationwide dipped to 2.7% in the final week of 2021. Amid an ongoing rise in interest rates, the average interest rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage rose slightly to 3.33%. Rio de Janeiro has canceled its iconic Carnival Festival for the second straight year due to the COVID-19 Omicron surge in Brazil.
That's not really a
Rio mayor said the nature of Carnival makes it impossible to control the potential spread of the virus. For the second consecutive year, the Grammy Awards will not be airing on their previously announced date. They announced, given the uncertainty surrounding the Omicron variant, holding the show on January 31st simply contains too many risks. Tennis star
Novak Djokovic
has been told his visa was rejected and that
big.
He must leave Australia and cannot play in the Australian Open. Local government rejected a request to sponsor his visa and exemption for COVID-19.
He is actually waiting in a hotel right now for a hearing on Monday to see if Australian Open said he could come in and play, and then he gets to the border. Where are your papers?
Okay. And a cat was reunited with its Colorado family after being accidentally donated to a thrift store.
Oh, that's
store employees right. discovered the cat hiding inside the old recliner chair.
Oh! They secretly were trying to get rid of that cat. Todd, have you thought of that? thought of that.
No, 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 no. Okay. We have with us on the line Dr. Randall Smith. He's a professor of theology at the University of St. Thomas, and we're looking at his latest article in The Catholic Thing. You go to thecatholicthing.org, An Incarnational World. Good morning, Randall.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for...
Nice to talk to you. I'm actually talking to you from St. Joseph County in Indiana. I'm up visiting the University of Notre Dame, where, of course, Saint André Bessette is a very important figure for the Holy Cross Fathers, because he was Holy Cross Father.
Oh, indeed, wow. Did not
indeed.
Know that.
That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, he's also one of the saints. As I study the lives of the saints, so many of them died young, mm-hmm. and he lived to be 91. So I'm like, all right, what was going on? What was going on in his life, Randall?
You have to have a long conversation. All the CSC fathers know a lot about the great Saint André Bessette. There's a statue to him in the Basilica here at Notre Dame. And there's actually many statues of him around because they have a deep devotion to him. And of course, Saint Joseph. Mm-hmm. It's the Saint Joseph River. It's called South Bend because it's the south bend of the Saint Joseph River.
That's so beautiful.
Our guests Catholic come heritage. On and teach us things.
Well, Grant, he's a full professor.
Yeah, that's why I know about the St. Joseph River. You know, they cover these things in the PhD program.
Nice. But now we're backing up way in time. We're going back to the 4th century here because you wanted to talk about St. Augustine, correct?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Who also is wonderful. You know, so I wrote this article about St. Augustine sort of moving from Platonism, Manichaeanism, and then Platonism to Christianity, and learning about a more incarnational view of nature and the world and matter, and what I would also call, in a related way, a sacramental view of the world, namely the world as an incarnation, an embodiment of God's love, and an instrument of God's love.
Now, explain to us the incarnational world. I mean, because that term, how do we define that?
Well, I mean, you know, if you think about the Word becoming flesh, right, in Jesus Christ, and you say, yes, but doesn't this really, in many ways, there's many important things it reveals to us and gives to us, right, but it's one of its important things that St. Augustine thought, and I think the Christian tradition has realized, is that it teaches us about the world, right? This is the creator of the world, and so it gives us a different view of the world. You know, many religions, I mean, most throughout the world, think of the world as created by demons, spirits, or it's a meaningless explosion, etc. That's what the incarnation tells us, is that the world is, again, this embodiment, right, of God's love. In the Word made flesh, once again, we see in Christ this embodiment of God's love. The problem for most people, actually, or a lot of people, I'm not saying, you know, is that they could believe in, if people who believe in God, I mean, throughout history and throughout cultures, that idea that God could actually become a human person, could actually enter into human history, could actually enter into matter, is the hard thing for them to get, right? That, no, you can't. So it's the same thing with the Eucharist, right? Like, yes, God is spirit, but can't become matter, can't touch me, can't actually be here in my life. That's what's hard for oftentimes people to believe, and that's, I think, what Augustine discovered, and the rest of the church also discovers, in the incarnation.
It is difficult, though, Randall, because I had a priest friend of mine who was going through airport security, and the TSA agent admitted to him, I mean, he was dressed as a Franciscan friar, so it was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And he, you know, is unpacking his bag, and he's got his breviary, and he's got, you know, other things. And he goes, oh, so are you Catholic? And he says, yeah, I'm a Catholic priest. And he says, I studied world religions. He says, I'm a Muslim, but I studied world religions in college. And then he got really pensive with him. And he said, do you really believe that God became a person, and that he was tired, and he had to eat, and he used the toilet? And he's like, yes. And he goes, well, why? And of course, the priest, you know, this long line behind
the TSA
him,
line,
not really the time. And he goes, love.
Yeah.
That's, but I just think it's hard for people to overcome the humility of God. Don't you think, Randall?
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's exactly it, right? And that he becomes a person at a moment in history that somehow the entire universe, that source of the being and the goodness of the entire universe, actually, you know, becomes so humble and the love is so great that he becomes an actual human person. That's what John realizes and expresses nicely, of course, in his gospel, but in the first letter of John, when he says, you know, that which was from the beginning, we have touched, we've heard, we were in his presence. He's blown away metaphysically. Like, I can't believe this amazing thing that, you know, in many ways, of course, they didn't recognize when he was among them. But in retrospect, he realizes the significance of what, you know, this was an actual human person who loved us so much that he actually then gave his life for us. And that's a degree of love, of humility, that, yeah, most, I think, just can't quite get, right? You know, and again, even this is true with the Eucharist as well, right? People are like, yeah, God is spiritually present, but, you know, not like present, not like, you know, I could touch my mother or something like that. It's like, no, that intimately, right? Amen. Just like that.
So,
and that's hard. It is true. It's hard for people to believe.
So, Randall, Augustine had these challenges in understanding the concept back when he went to Milan and he was searching for the truth. So what kinds of things did Augustine lay out that explained it to him that maybe we today could take an understanding of and apply it today? Because what you and Todd are talking about is so true. People don't have an understanding, yet when we read about Augustine that he didn't even have a proper understanding, we realize that this is part of our humanity, our unknowledge or unknowing God and our pathway to kind of having him revealed in our lives. So how did Augustine go about this, and what could we learn from that?
Well, you know, one might say there's two approaches. One is, I think, in Augustine's case, he both had to sort of free himself from the materialism of the Manichees, but then he got into a kind of anti-materialism of the Platonists. And so what he found in Christianity was a better view, we might say. And he started reading the book of Genesis. Was very important to him, did four different commentaries on it during his lifetime. Also the letters of St. Paul, right? I mean, but he also started to read those things under the tutelage of the great Ambrose, Bishop of Milan, and that was very important to him, it seems to me, to kind of get out of childish views he had. So there were a lot of, if you read Augustine's Confessions, you see him working through a lot of sort of intellectual problems, right? And so if I were to say, if it were merely an intellectual problem, which it's not, you might say, well, people need to reread under the right sort of tutelage Augustine's Confessions and think about Paul's letters, the importance of grace. But along with that, one might say, it isn't merely an intellectual problem, obviously. I think, you know, Augustine started to be in a good community of church friends, et cetera, and so one might say, if you're thinking about, oh, can God be embodied, I guess you just have to be around people and in church communities where you sort of experience and are living in that embodied love. You know, and so I used to say to my students, look, the way you might think about the sacraments is like, and about the incarnation is like a kiss, right? And so you say to yourself, look, does God need to kiss your wife to express your love to your wife? And the answer is, well, you don't need to, but it's sort of good, nice, right? We're human beings. We're embodied creatures, and that's how God comes to us.
Amen. Mm-hmm. It also doesn't, I think it helps, it doesn't hurt to be brilliant, to be, you know,
like
mentoring under a saint.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of stuff can help, right, Randall?
No, absolutely. So, you know, again, it's a combination of you. What you want people, I think, in the modern world is to read, right, the books of the fathers and doctors of the church to the extent they can, right? We live in a culture with high levels of education, and the problem, of course, if you have low levels of understanding of your faith, is that you tend to be dominated by those secular perspectives alone, right? And so it is important, it seems to me, to be tutored by Augustine and Ambrose and Basil and Thomas Aquinas, you know. And but by the same token, it's also very important, it seems to me, to to live in the church and live in those communities and say to yourself, yeah, this makes sense of my life. right? Like, I know that I'm living differently.
Yeah, but when you say making sense, Randall, because I remember I had an incredible spiritual director at a very good time in my life. You know, there was a lot of growth that was taking place. But I struggled a great deal with the humility of God because it didn't make sense to me. This all-powerful, omnipotent God, and yet would humble himself and take the form of, I mean, become a baby that was needed to have a diaper changed. Like, that was a struggle for me. And I remember something that he said. He goes, Todd, you know, you've got to fold the wings of the intellect and bow to the mystery. And that struck me because I thought, you know, sometimes our minds get in the way of some of this, doesn't it, Randall?
Yeah, I think that's true. It's interesting. I mean, a lot of the fathers and doctors of the church, I'm working on a book on St. Bonaventure's journey of the mind into God right at the moment. At the highest level, he moves from the intellect into, like John of the Cross, you know, a realm of darkness, right? Like, there's a mystery of the incarnation, and not only the incarnation, but Christ on the cross dying for us, which is so great. It's, you know, Bonaventure's, it's just, it's something that we have no way of really understanding how the Word, who's the Word through whom all things were created, could have that great love. By the same token, there is a way in which you get a glimmering of it, I suppose, right? Don't you, in your spiritual director, people you've known, it is their great humility, right? Is their reaching down and speaking with you. Those are the people you really know are giving you life, right? I mean, the people who are so great and so smart, but then just, you know, exalt themselves over you are not the people who are really giving life and giving life to the world, are they, right? I mean, that's all our politicians, but not all our politicians, that's unfair, but, you know, so many.
We can go there, Randall.
Right? You know, does that make sense? I mean, and it's when you meet those people and you say, that's the kind of person I want to be, and you say, well, of course, that's the person the Lord was, right?
Yeah. You also mentioned in your article, which is a good point, is we view a lot of things in this world, this material world, are a prison to us, the limitations of our body, the rules of a church, whereas if you let yourself really understand the incarnate Word and what God has created here, that all of these are guidelines and they're freeing for you to fully be the person God created you to be. So our world takes things and looks at everything as a prison and a limitation, where really it's a path to freedom, to fully loving God and each other.
Yeah, I mean, you could, again, you think of a kiss, you could think of your body as a prison. Mm-hmm. Oh, I need to get out of the prison. Or you could say, well, look, if you get out of the prison, I sometimes say this to students who have this, like, what do you think of the body as this prison? I say, well, it's a possibility, but I quite like having a body. I'm not this particular body exactly, you know, every day. But the point is, I like hugs. I like kissing. I like warmth. I like, you know, talking to people. I like laughter. The question is how we use the things God has given us, all these embodied things God has given us, our institutions. Augustine goes to school, for example, and he's like, yeah, I learned a lot of good stuff, but school didn't make me a better person. It just made me more arrogant, right? Mm-hmm. All the things that we have that God has given us as great gifts that we turn away from God rather than turning, you know, as ways of embodying in ourselves and fostering in ourselves God's love, which is that selfless love for others.
And how do we grow in that, though, Randall? Because I had a friend of mine one time that was like, Todd, I wish I appreciated food the way you do. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know how to transfer that. I love food. I mean, food to me is fantastic. God did not have to make it taste and smell so delicious. He could have just said, here's food. It'll sustain you. Move on with your life. And he didn't. So, I mean, how do we grow an appreciation of all that, Randall?
Well, I mean, one thing is just the word you've used, right? You see it as a gift, right? It didn't have to be that way, but it is that way. And what an amazing sort of miracle, right? I mean, in some ways, the miracles that Christ does are meant to sort of point us to the miracles around us every day, right? I mean, there's healing going on every day. There's multiplication of loaves and fishes, right? There's people being fed. every day. And so if, you know, I think we have to start being grateful for the gifts that we have instead of being resentful for the things that we don't have.
Amen.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's not the world today. Randall Smith, thanks for joining us. You can check out his article on thecatholicthing.org.
Thank you, Randall.
Thank you.
All right, have a great day. Oh, Dr. Robert Royal coming up next.
Heck yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about, we've got some courses on Augustine online, so maybe that first conversation intrigued you and you want to dive into a little more Augustine. Stay with us here on LA Catholic Morning.
Home is where the...
Where my mind goes.
Oh,
welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. You're on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor.
Some kind of mathematical
thing. I don't know. I'm really not that smart. Oh. Mike the Great's over there. Ripster's doing his thing on the line. We have Dr. Robert Royal, who is the founder and president of the Faith and Reason Institute in D.C. He's also editor-in-chief of the Catholic Thing. Good morning, Dr. Royal.
Good to be with you.
Thank you so much for joining us. On all of my Catholic pages and everywhere that I go, there's been this sidebar going on where it has you there with a series that you're going to be doing on Saint Augustine. What exactly is this?
Well, actually, it started last night. This is a five-week course on Saint Augustine's Confessions, which is, as you know, it's one of the most famous and popular books since it was written 1,500 years ago. It's partly an autobiography of this great saint, but it's also kind of a philosophical and theological reflection on how his faith and his great commitment to the Church came about through the various events in his life. So it's a very interesting read. We have literally 900 people signed up for this, and it's so possible to sign up for it, by the way. If anyone is interested, you go to courses at FR, for Faith and Reason, courses at frinstitute.org. But I thought it would be interesting because, you know, our Catholic people feel detached from the tradition, and we did three courses actually earlier on Dante's Divine Comedy, and we literally reach hundreds of people who, you know, this is not a course where you're taking exams and writing papers the way you did when you were in college. You read a text, I guide people through it, and we try to come to a deeper appreciation of our Catholic tradition and how it's actually enriched not only life within the Church, but in the world as well.
A priest friend of mine recently was talking with a young adult who I believe was a sophomore in college, and he was Catholic, practicing Catholic, goes to Sunday Mass, but went through public school system. And he had said to him, hey, I didn't give you a Christmas present, so I wanted to give you this. And he opened it up, and it was a book, I believe, on St. Thomas Aquinas. And he said, oh, who's he?
Huh?
And he said, wait a minute. You don't know who St. Thomas Aquinas is. And then he asked him, he said, do you know who St. Augustine is? And he goes, no, I'm not familiar with the names. And he thought, how is it that you can have a 20-year-old Catholic who is practicing his faith, Dr. Royal, and yet they're not even familiar with the names at all, let alone reading some of these great works?
Yeah, this is one of the great tragedies of the last half century or so. You know, I meet a lot of people who, you know, they hadn't read Aquinas or they haven't read Augustine, but they know. I mean, they recognize that these are the great thinkers, the great souls, the great saints that have helped shape the Church over the centuries. And so that's one of the reasons why I've started these courses. And we have others coming down the line. We're going to have Father Gerald Murray, who with me is part of the Papal Posse on EWTN. He's got a book coming out about controversies in the Church and, you know, trying to attach these questions back to the tradition. And all that, I think, helps enrich us because we're the heirs of probably the richest cultural tradition in the world. There's nothing like Catholicism. There's nothing that has that thousands and thousands of years of development and also that engages the contemporary world in ways that the world is not even aware of.
Mm-hmm. It's... I'm fascinated that you said you have 900 people that are joining in this study. And And to people maybe that are listening and then hearing the story from Todd, there is an underserved population here of Catholics that have not really explored why their faith or why our faith got us to this point in the world. And for a lot of people that just question faith, but they don't ever go back and read, well, throughout history, people have questioned faith and great minds have written about their questions and their search. And so we should take advantage of those people and those great minds in the past because they're answering a lot of the same questions we have right now. And I think that if people actually took that step to do that, there would be a lot less angst or controversy or questioning of why the church is doing that today. Well, that has been answered and here is how it's laid out. And so something like this, a coursework to just sit and listen and absorb, is really essential in understanding and knowing our faith.
Well, let me just say, I was astonished. My whole staff was astonished, too, that we had 900 people show up for this. Mm-hmm. And that's an indication of exactly what you're talking about. People recognize that there's this wisdom that has been accumulated over the centuries in the church. And one of the funny things when we were dealing with Augustine last night, and I'm going to say again, this is just a five-week course. We meet for an hour and a half on Wednesday evenings via Zoom. This is one of the great things that at least the internet has enabled us to do. There are a lot of bad things on the internet, as we know, but it does allow us to all kind of meet together. You know, Augustine is going through the same things. His parents want him to go to what we would think of as college. They want him to be successful. They're not paying attention too much to the needs of his morals and his soul, so he gets corrupted. And it's like a kid going off to a college and then all of a sudden thinking that he knows better than his parents and, you know, abandoning the faith. These things are human things. They're in every age, and as you rightly say, the church has dealt with these things and has dealt with it in a brilliant way. And it's not just that these great figures in our tradition are brilliant thinkers. They're also holy. They're intelligent, wise persons who have reflected on the human life in the world in the light of the gospel and the developing tradition. And I don't know where else you can turn, and especially at a time like this when we're in great turmoil both in the church and in the world. I don't know where else you can turn except for that kind of steady wisdom that has proven itself over time.
Well, I'm grateful for people like you, Dr. Royal, because when I was in college, I had the blessing of having individuals who said, all right, these are the 10 books that you have got to read. Like, you have got to read Augustine's Confessions. You have got to read that. And if they hadn't told me that, and probably because I was a theology major, it would have come up in my coursework eventually. But for the majority of people, if they've just, you know, a business major, they may not read it. So I think after I read those 10 books, you know what that professor said to me? Here's 10 more.
Right.
Here's 10 more. You've got done. But he did that because he loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted me to be properly formed. And I think we've kind of lost that, don't you think, Dr. Royal?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I tell people, I told the students last night is, you know, I can't in just 5 weeks, a few hours a week, convey the fullness of a great figure like Augustine. Augustine has written, you know, dozens of works, probably hundreds of works and thousands of pages. But you can at least begin to appreciate in your first reading the major themes of a great thinker like this. And you can learn how that person writes and tries to explain things. And then once you've acquired kind of the ability to understand how you enter into this tradition, maybe this is what happened with you with the 10 books, then you can do this on your own quite a bit. You know, you kind of develop the initial initial tools you need to go back into those texts, because you can read and reread the Confessions throughout your whole life. I mean, just like you can read and reread The Imitation of Christ or John of the Cross's Dark Night of the Soul. These are classic texts that always, with each rereading, you learn something different because you're in a different place and you may be, you know, you're confronting different questions or you've learned something along the way. So, the beginning is important, but there's no end to this. We've got a wisdom available to us that can carry us through our whole lives. And it would be a great tragedy for our Catholic people if we were not to appreciate and to try to appropriate this, not only for the sake of the church, but for our own individual lives.
And what I've also found, though, I think it's very important for our listeners to understand, is you do not have to be a deep student of theology to appreciate these works, because I do not have any advanced degrees. I mean, that there, some people are intimidated and they think, oh, this is so daunting. There's no way that I can read any of this stuff. Now, sometimes some of the stuff needs to be explained. Like I did use an annotated version of the Divine Comedy because there were some references in there that I was like, okay, I don't really even get that. Mm-hmm. But once you get into it and you start reading it and you become more familiar with it, it really does change us. Don't you think, Dr. Royal?
Yeah, no, I agree entirely. Mm-hmm. Well, Dante is hard. You need an edition with notes when you're going to read Dante. Mm-hmm. Augustine is much more of a kind of a personal heart speaking to heart. Aquinas is a great thinker, but he's using technical terminology and he's very orderly and you've got to be able to follow him over, a long book. But Augustine really speaks heart to heart. He's a passionate, passionate man. He was passionate in his lusts and his youthful sinfulness, but he became even more passionate when he discovered philosophy and theology. And so there's certain books, our tradition has these more personal books that kind of speak to everybody. In this course, we've got priests who have studied Augustine in Rome. We've got people who have absolutely no knowledge of Augustine. And so we kind of pitch it to these different audiences. I give them different readings. Some people will do the additional reading, some won't. But we can all, as members of this Church of Christ, be able to discuss with a great brother like Augustine the important and central truths of the faith and how they impact our lives.
Wow. Now, I'm just equally impressed, too, that you have 900 people.
I think it's wonderful.
900 people want to sit and yes.
Yes, they do.
I know. So if somebody's listening and maybe still wants to join in, is there was last night's recorded? Can they jump in for week two? Is that still possible?
These lectures are... I think the one last night is already going to be available online. And as I said, you have to write to, you have to email Hannah Russo, R-U-S-S-O, Hannah Russo, who manages these courses for me, at courses@frinstitute.org. And she'll be able to get you access to last night's lecture. And then you should register going forward for the next 4 weeks because we intend to have some fun together and to learn a few things.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll be learning more than a few things. I mean, because that's the other part. I love the discussion. You know, this is so much of what I miss. I graduated from college over 30 years ago, and yet it seems like it was yesterday, some of those discussions that took place. And I think that's where the rubber hits the road, Dr. Royal, and that's where the change takes place, and that's where the effect on the world happens. I mean, that's why you're doing this, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, people think that these are just books like other books, right? But we all read a lot of books. You read a novel, you read, some history or something. And those aren't necessarily life-changing books, and they don't necessarily hang around for very long. These are, when you read the Bible, when you read Augustine, when you read Aquinas, when you read, St. Thomas More or St. Francis de Sales or St. Therese of Lisieux. These are books that have spoken to a wide variety of people at different times with different backgrounds and different understandings. And this tells us that this is something that really touches our humanity. And that's why that people keep going back to them over and over again. These are not just books on the shelf like other books. These are books that have a certain kind of luminosity to them. They enlighten your mind, they enlighten your heart, they enlighten your soul. And so, you and I might have a different list of 10 of those first 10 books, but you could have 10 or 10,000 or I don't know how many books, but the ones that really move us, the ones that have survived the various changes in the world and in the church, these things are, they're about as close to eternal as we're going to get in this life.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I do think that we have to grow an appreciation of the classics. I mean, there are certain works, and I do agree, now that priest is deceased now, who told me these things, but he said, you really can't, go through your life without reading these works. I mean, those are just the base books. And I think it's important for us to make those important in our lives, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're going to read and if you're going to want to engage in arguments, especially these days when so much is in confusion in the church, you know, lots of simpler souls who kind of just appreciate goodness and, you know, are inspired by God's grace to do the right thing. You know, that's fine. But if you want to be articulate, you want to be able to think about and talk about and engage in the kinds of things that all of us are seeing as challenges these days, where else are you going to go other than to these fundamental things that you can really rely on because they're very solid. They're just rooted in God. They're rooted in good thought. They're rooted in the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons I teach them is because I learned so much from them when I read them myself, and they've stayed with me, you know, these decades that I've been an adult.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Royal, it sounds like it's also a great reminder in the new year. You're not going to change unless you invite these changes into your life. So we encourage you to go check out the Faith and Reason Institute. You can check out the coursework. It's frinstitute.org. Dr. Robert Royal, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thanks,
Dr. Royal.
Thanks. Have a great day. Todd.
No, I know. I get the Catholic thing sent to my inbox every morning. It's always fantastic.
Maybe I'd like to see your little dot in the 900 people Zoom window, you know, with the pictures there. That's what I want to see. Oh, coming up next, we got the blogosphere, Todd. Woo-hoo. Stay with us here on LA Catholic Morning.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. You're on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Great's at the Command Center. Producing like a boss over there. Ripster's doing his thing. It's the blogosphere time. And if I like those videos where you have the person with a microphone who just walks up to individuals.
Like man on the street kind of thing.
Man on the street. And they say, okay, well, if they asked what's the number one killer, what killed the most people worldwide in 2021?
Well,
some people probably would have said COVID because that's all over the news. Or people would say cancer. Heart attacks.
Well,
smoking.
You don't want to give. We're going to bury the lead here and reel it on out to people.
Okay.
So we'll look at the top five. So Worldometer, which compiles all kinds of statistics, and people have been looking at that, particularly during these COVID times, on numbers and deaths. Well, anyway, they came out this week with their biggest causes of death in the world in 2021. And I thought it was just a bit of an interesting story on how we measure and focus our attention on things in this world. Because you think you want to identify the number one killer of people in the world. And let's, as a society and a culture, find solutions so that doesn't happen. So, top five, Todd, of the things that have caused the most death in the world. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We'll start. Well, 6 was HIV and AIDS. So that's dropped down. Or maybe it was never that high, but it's there. Number 5 is alcohol consumption.
Wow.
We do try to address that. We see the use. Tobacco use is number 4. And, of course, that's been on the list of things in cultures and society we've been trying to do. Get rid of and just make ourselves healthier.
Here in the United States, I would have to say that that's definitely now on the down.
Yeah, but
low.
You look at other cultures. I mean, you've got some countries in the world where, you know, in China, for example, I think male smoking is something like 60%. It's so you have this in other parts. So this is on the worldwide stage. Both of those two, 4 and 5, tobacco and alcohol, are actually consumption and something preventable, but that would be another story. Number 3, cancer. We'd all say that, ooh, cancer might be number 1.
I would think cancer was number 1.
Right. No.
You're wrong, Todd.
Exactly.
Todd, you're wrong.
Number 2, contagious diseases.
What do you mean?
So this is things that go on, not so much in the United States, but in other countries. The malarias of the world, the mosquito-borne illnesses, insect-borne illnesses,
waterborne. So you're not saying contagious like from person to person necessarily? Because if you're talking about a mosquito, I mean, there's not much I can do about that.
Well, are a lot of people getting smallpox these days? Because I would put that in contagious disease.
Okay.
But I don't think that that is coming up there.
Okay.
Anyway, 12 million people died of that.
Wow.
The number one killer at 42 million people. Now, our listeners that are listening say, well, they haven't said heart disease. But I think heart disease might be, is it down the list? No. That's interesting because I'm going to check if that's in contagious diseases. At 42 million people killed, the number one killer in the world in 2021 was abortion.
Wow.
Now, my listeners, wow, there they go with the abortion talk.
Right, 42 million
people. That is
42 million.
One in five. One in five conceptions in 2021 ended.
20%.
So one-fifth of children that were conceived in 2021 were killed.
20% of children.
Mm-hmm. It's a staggering amount. All of the other, there were more deaths from abortion in 2021 than all deaths from cancer, malaria, HIV, AIDS, smoking, alcohol, traffic accidents combined. So you think that we as a society might want to look at that and say,
sweet Jesus.
Say, well, you know, we're always, what's the top list? What's the top problem we need to tackle in our society? And we spent a lot of time, I don't see COVID in there. COVID actually had, they estimate 3.5 million people died of COVID in 2021, which would, you know, that's far down. That's, you know, eight in the world. So it's we can't address a problem unless we see the stark facts that are the problem. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people will not look at those facts. They'll just think, oh, abortion, that's clean, that's neat, that, because what the world is trying to do too, in many ways, particularly the Western world, is make abortion less messy in the sense of, well, we've got a pill for that, so it's not really an abortion. Well, it's still life, and you're still snuffing it out. So that is still abortion, whether it's in the early stages with a pill or the late stages and rather horrific. So we have to address and understand that as a people, that just because it's hidden, it does not mean it's not happening.
Right.
And that's the way a lot of abortionists are moving towards, because the states, particularly in America, are getting rid of the obvious, the abortion clinics. We don't think that that is good for our states and our citizens, and they're taking actions against that. But what you have rising up is this getting of pills on the internet. And there's a push for abortion pills to be sold over the counter at the drugstore. And so you've got these other ways without addressing, yet we're still killing someone.
Yeah. Well, it's changing the mindset mm-hmm. of people and what we bring mm-hmm. to the world.
Yeah.
Here earlier we were talking about the incarnation.
Right.
You know, the reason why we're focusing on that is because Christ became a person. A person at a particular time in history was born and he lived on this earth. You know, every one of these, you know, it's a statistic right now, the 42.6 million.
Yep.
That's
mm-hmm.
a statistic.
Right.
But each one of those is a person and they would have been in families.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know that some people look at that and go, oh, that would have been so hard to feed all those people. First of all, they don't show up. Like
in one group,
in a blip,
yeah.
You know, with a
uh-huh.
Marvel movie or something
right,
like that.
Yeah.
They come
uh-huh.
into families. And someone saw our Christmas photo recently and they commented to my wife. They're like, wow, that's such a big family. How do you feed them all?
Mm-hmm.
We had people at our house on Christmas that I had never met before.
Mm-hmm.
They showed up and you know what? There was plenty of food mm-hmm. for everybody. You just don't notice. And when you have a lot more people in the world, there's that much more support in the world. Stop looking at people
as a deficiency, or stop looking at people as, oh, this is going to be a struggle to feed them, or there's going to be more global warming, or there's going to be, you know, you're forgetting that there's more love in the world. You're forgetting that there's more people to support each other. Like, that's the reason why my wife and I were so blessed and open to life in having a large family. Wasn't for us. It was so that they would have each other.
Yeah.
And that's, we have to stop having the mindset that this is something that is a detriment. If you have 43 more million people in the world, that's a better world.
People today view, I mean, rather than, I think religious people or people of faith view life as an understanding and gift from God. And we talk about it, you know, with St. Augustine, today's conversation about confessions and understanding God's love. Today, people view other people as a net loss to a society. Well, that's just going to take up resources, or that's just going to, they're not going to be fully loved in the proper way. They're not going to be able to get their private school education and internet and whatever other things that we assume other human beings need to have a fullness of life. Well, they can't have that, so we should just support them. When did that become the sole gauge of somebody's humanity? You know, the things you have, you know, the able to order Uber Eats. So we have a real unbalanced sense of what it is to be human. People in today's world measure humanity on the stuff you can have. And if I can't have enough stuff, or this person can't have all the right stuff in the right way, well, they're not worth having. And that's a very unbalanced way to look at each other's gift of humanity.
It's not even honest, though.
Yeah.
Because our honest living in our lives, it's the connections that we have with other people that make us who we are.
Yeah.
And sustain
us. So richer.
Us.
Yeah.
You know, everybody keeps complaining about, oh, when we go to restaurants, everybody's understaffed. Uh-huh. It's like, well, you know, more people in the world would be a better thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a better thing to have more people. And I think we've lost that mindset. It really is a very simple thing.
The other thing is too, you read a lot of articles. Well, births are down during the pandemic because people are waiting to see, you know, oh, I can't bring a child into the world like this. Well, if all of humanity waited for that, there wouldn't be any of us here, because every generation has their own trepidations about what their, every parent does, bringing a child into the world. Well, what is this world going to be like for my child? Will they suffer? But that's part of the humanity and the life experience. And we don't get to pick what time we're born in, that's God who brought us forth. So every generation throughout history, every parent has probably asked themselves that question. But you know, you go step forward in faith. God brought life, and I'm going to give life, and I'm going to do my part here. And so if you're waiting for the perfect world to have a child in, you're just going to keep on waiting.
Well, maybe I'm a bad parent because I never asked myself that question.
Oh,
I never did. I didn't think, oh, you know, oh, is the world a terrible place? Should I bring a child? Because this is what I said. If I bring this child into the world, it makes the world a better place.
Right.
I wake up my children and say, okay, it's time to wake up because the world needs your beauty.
Mm-hmm.
The world needs you. I told all of my kids were home at Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then dad gets on his soapbox.
Oh, did they give you an actual soapbox?
No, but I did get their attention. Everybody quiet down. Dad wants to say a few words. And I said, the world is a better place because you're here.
Mm-hmm.
The world is a better place. And I'm filled with gratitude that God has gifted you to our family and to the world. I mean, we've got to change the perception. Just like you said, if ever someone is seen as a net loss, something's wrong with that. That is not God speaking. Mm-hmm. That is not the Holy Spirit speaking, because life is good.
It's amazing how we really have a warped understanding of our humanity and our place in humanity in today's world. We are so buried inside our own heads that we can't step outside and recognize the beauty of God's creation, whether it's in the earth, whether it's in people. And, just by the fact that you've had 42 million abortions in 2021, by far, the next closest cause of death was the contagious diseases at 12 million. Far away, we are killing ourselves, and that is the biggest cause of death in 2021, so don't let people tell you COVID or anything else.
Mercy.
I know. We just pray. Can do better in 2022. We're going to get up, brush off the dust off us, and do better in 2022. That's what we're going to do. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Alabama Smile Design. Dr. Brandon O'Donnell and his staff offer you the finest quality care in cosmetic and implant dentistry along the Gulf Coast. Call them today at 251-344-4994 or visit alabamasmiledesign.com. Beautiful smiles to match a beautiful city. Mike, what do we have tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow it's our World Wide Weber segment with St. Michael Catholic High School Principal Faustin Weber. We'll be talking about what's out with the old and in with the new at St. Michael Catholic High School. We'll talk with the actress Natalie Mattson about a family-friendly sitcom that she's developed in accent, Freelancers, and Father Andrew Jones has our Sunday Gospel Reflection.
Sounds cool.
There's the act. All right.
Yeah.
So I hope everyone has a wonderful day. Invoke the name of St. Joseph today in honor of St. Andre Bissette. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.